Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel of On Texas Football. This episode of State of the Program brought to you by our friend Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. We appreciate him. Hey, guys, the three things I really want to talk about in this State of the Program, our kind of weekly address, is kind of straightforward. I want to talk about the Horns being back in action, had a couple weeks off, but they met on Sunday. Steve Sarkisian addressing the team. Then they went back to work on Monday morning, back to work on Wednesday morning, and really talk about a couple of different things, what we're hearing behind the scenes, and then maybe what we think they hope to accomplish this summer. Other things I want to talk about, big official visit weekend coming up for the Longhorns, six official visitors. Jerry, you guys have been bird dogging that pretty heavily. We're going to talk about that. And then also I want to take a little bit of a retrospective on the amount of players that were offered this past weekend from the underclass ranks, because I think it's very, very interesting. And then the two new offers in the class of 2025 as well. I want to talk about them. Nathan Tillman out of Mansfield Timberview and JJ Danny or Hanny out of Rancho Santa Margarita Catholic out in California. New defensive back and defensive lineman offered by the Longhorns. But let's start with Sunday. Steve Sarkisian brings the team back in Sunday afternoon. They were set to report. Whole team there. Bert Auburn gets awarded a scholarship. Congratulations to Bert and what he does for the team and has done for the Longhorns. Truly a deserved moment. But then they get back after it on Monday morning. You know, some of the things we're looking for, jersey numbers, what we're hearing behind the scenes. CJ, you start with the jersey numbers because there's been a couple of changes as well as a couple of announcements via Instagram, but the team itself has not put out the official roster yet. So give people a sense of some of the jersey numbers people are going to be wearing, et cetera.
Yeah, of course, we'll still be waiting for that fall roster update on the website. That's really when we'll get to sit back and roster bait a little bit about, you know, changes in height, weight, everything. But behind the scenes, some numbers have been changed. The four freshmen coming in, Melvin Hill, Santana Wilson, Michael Kern, Nate Kibble, all of them have their numbers. Melvin Hills will be wearing number 55, Michael Kern, number 39. Nate Kibble, big old number 70, so that'll be exciting. And, of course, Santana Wilson will be wearing 28. As for the four portal transfers, the one that is still outstanding at the moment is Jermaine Lole. However, Silas Bolden will be wearing number 11. Bill Norton, number 15, actually. So big body wearing that number 15 this year. A couple big bodies that'll also be Will Stone, the specialist, and Trey Owens, the quarterback. So three 15s on this year's roster, as well as Javion Cole wearing number 13, which was actually worn by Jahdae Barron, who will be wearing number 4 this year. He swapped down to 4 once Austin Jordan departed for the portal as well.
You mean Jahdae Barron switched to 7 in honor of Mike Clough. Andrew Makuba, who are their best friends, that he moved to 4.
Yeah.
So just in general, Javion Cole is number 13. Silas Bolden, number 11. Bill Norton, number 15. Those are the new jerseys. Makuba switched to 4. And then, you know, there's some other things there too, which is interesting. Jaron Thompson used to wear number 28. Well, that's now going to be Santana Wilson. And then Nate Kibble is going to take over the jersey of Christian Jones, the big right tackle that's off the NFL at number 70. Those are the big ones. Still waiting to figure out what Jermaine Lole does as far as his
jersey. Lole wore 90 at Louisville last year. I don't know, you know, if that's who. I don't know if we know who 90 is this year, but the crazy thing I was thinking about is
Jerry
Sadir.
He swapped from 99 to 90 at the beginning of the spring. So that's true. He's keeping that one. Once Byron Murphy left, he said, that's mine.
Yeah. He did claim 90. Hey, by the way, the team picture is going to look weird with three number 15s in it. I just, that's just weird, right? I mean, you're going to see 15, 15, 15.
So who are they? Trey Owens, Will Stone, and Bill Norton are all going to be number 15. I guess Bill Norton and Trey Owens can't be on the field at the same time. Trey Owens is not going to be the holder.
How about covering kickoffs.
Breaking news right now. Trey Owens can't be the holder.
Owens and Bill Norton are not covering kickoffs.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Silas Bolden, by the way, actually wore, I think, number 7 at Oregon State. But of course, Isaiah 007 Bond wearing that number for the Longhorns this year. All right, a couple other things. They're back in action. I did hear a little bit that I think I want to share with folks. And I mentioned this on Wednesday morning's Coffee and Football. I've heard that just two players, Justice Finkley and Darian Gillette, came out charging first couple days. So just, it's too early, clearly, to try to put one thing in front of another. I've asked about Sadir Mitchell, for example, and not gotten a response there because he's clearly a guy that we want to hear about. But I did hear very, very positive things out of the gate on Justice Finkley, who is somewhat of a forgotten man, right? Because we talk about Ethan Burke all the time. We talk about Baron Sorrell as the starters. And then we immediately start talking about Trey Moore, Colin Simmons, and even Colton Vosick as coming on, right? Well, Justice Finkley's going to be in that rotation. And I get the feeling he's not going to go quietly into that good night, so to speak. That's what I'm hearing.
And he's really looking forward to this season because he's in the SEC where he grew up.
Yeah,
there's some extra motivation there for him, along with the competition.
Absolutely.
And there were some schools that said he was too small in the SEC. Those things are remembered by players.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other one that I had for you guys was Darian Gillette, who, look, we know that he came in injured and was behind other guys, including Anthony Hill, who had a standout freshman year. Well, Darian Gillette had to take a back seat. I think he may be ready to take the next step based on what I'm hearing. Other thoughts that y'all have about what y'all are going to be looking for from guys this summer? So I've already mentioned a couple guys, but what are y'all really like? We got to look towards, where is Sadir Mitchell really going to end up at the end of this summer? Has he turned the switch? Is Jermaine Lole ready to really play at a higher level now that it's been a year after his last big injury? Like, what are some of the subtexts or whatever y'all are thinking of right now that we got to monitor this summer?
Yeah, for me, it's if we continue to hear things about Ryan Wingo after the spring, then he has the month of May off. Then if he comes back this summer, like, ooh, he's looking even better than he did in the spring, physically, testing numbers, just all that, then it goes to another level with that guy, right? Because this is before he's ever played a game. Back in the old days, Bobby, we didn't hear all this stuff on a Roy Williams. He just kind of was poof, and there it is, right? I mean, now you hear a lot more now on these guys. So many early enrollees is part of it. But through summer workouts, just the information stream. And then the other one for me is Javion Cole. Is he going to be talked about? Not by the corners, maybe by the receivers, as, oh, hey, this guy's really good. He may be better than we thought he was coming out of San Jose State. If you start hearing some things like that about Javion Cole, that's going to be a very good sign for Texas, because one thing about Javion Cole, in the season, Texas will be mixing coverages. He's really good in zone. He has that corner mind. He's going to play within the scheme really well. But in the summer, it's more mono-y-mono, right? If the guys are talking about, hey, this Javion Cole guy is pretty good, I mean, then that's going to be a really good sign for Texas at corner.
CJ, what are some of the things that you're looking, the overview standpoint for this summer, for us to hear or not hear based on what you're thinking for this upcoming year?
Yeah, very similarly to Sadir Mitchell. I want to hear what Bill Norton's like. You know, I got a text this morning that said he's a big, you know, kind of redacted. I'll leave that next word out, but he's big. And I think that kind of sneaks up on folks. He is listed about 6'5 and a half, 6'6, 325 to 330 pounds. So we know he's big. We know he's that over-the-ball guy. What is he looking like Sadir Mitchell, in these summer conditioning workouts? How are they moving and everything that goes into what we expect for their position in the fall? Aside from that, I want to hear the overall speed of the secondary, right? You know, Texas went out and they added a lot of talented guys, whether it be the portal, whether it be high school, Xavier Filsimi, Jordan Johnson-Rubel, and now the cornerbacks as well. A lot of speed entering that room, But what does Andrew Mukuba look like in this group? How's Derek Williams and Michael Taft coming along? Is there a noticeable difference in speed in that back safety group than what we saw a year ago? Texas got beat a few times late in the season against Alabama, Oklahoma State. They all started to pick on some of these safeties. I'll be looking to see if that speed in general for that room is much improved from what we saw at the back end of 2023.
Yeah, Washington game, you know, clearly Penix was just on fire. But to your point, the secondary had some issues there, and it was not the highlight. Hopefully, the pass rush helps take care a little bit of that, and they don't have to cover for as long as they were being asked to last year.
I got another one. So DJ Campbell is down, 13 to 15 pounds in the spring from the season. If you start hearing, okay, he's – another 5 pounds on that positive side. Not that 343, 345 was bad. It may have been a little too heavy for his frame. But if you start to hear that 325, 330 range with him again, that's really positive sign. Then Cam Williams. If you start to hear 340, 345 for him, which it's always a battle for him because he's just an extremely large human, the standard 350 pounds. If you hear that he's in the 340s somehow, that's really good for him as well because, look, this is his first year starting. There's going to be demands on him physically that he hasn't faced as a football player ever. And so is he in actually maximized peak condition? And that would be more conditioning than anything for him. Not that he hasn't, but it's just he's hard. It's hard for him to stand at 350. If you start hearing about him in the 340s, that's a really good sign for Cam Williams this year.
Well, Jerry, I mentioned this. We talked to some guys that were at the camp this weekend, and actually Cam Williams actually went into the camp and was there a little bit, and they just think he looks like, you know, he looks like a potential draft pick.
Yeah.
Now, he's always looked super big, but he's starting to reapportion some weight, essentially. And this is the case with all these guys. Again, it takes time. Whether it's DJ Campbell, Cam Williams, even Kelvin Banks looks appreciably different on the hook right now than he did 2 years ago. So a lot of those things, it just takes time. And I think the Longhorns getting ready to be rewarded for waiting that out. All right, before we go to the official visits that we want to talk about this weekend, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. That is Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, motorcycle accident, even an ATV, and think you might be due compensation or want to talk to somebody about it and just see whether or not it's something that you might want to pursue, visit LowyLawFirm.com. That's LowyLawFirm.com. Adam and his firm have 20-plus years experience, not only in the Austin area, but across the state of Texas. Again, that's LowyLawFirm.com. We appreciate Adam for his sponsorship. All right, the official visitors coming in. I'm going to have Matt, our producer, put that group up right now. It got culled by one earlier today, Jerry. Dorian Brew, the defensive back out of Conroe, no longer coming in. But I'll read this list out. Caleb Edwards, tight end out of Oak Ridge out in California. Myron Charles out of Port Charlotte, defensive lineman out of Florida. Josiah Sharma, another young man out of Folsom, California. Caleb Chester, Jerry, you went and saw him this morning over at Fort Bend Marshall. He's a cornerback. Javion Hilton, an edge prospect, again, out of the state of Florida in Cocoa. Michael Terry, an athlete that I know you've gone to see personally, CJ, out of Alamo Heights. All right, that's six. It's not a huge weekend. It's a precursor to the bigger weekends to come up, the 13th and 14th, and then the 20th, 21st. What do you take away from this group? Jerry, I'll start with you first.
Yeah, so I think, look, let's start with Dorian Brew because we do need to bring out the news there. He did reschedule. I think the official visit date that he comes back to Texas on, his family were reshuffling some of those dates. Could it be out later today? Could be tomorrow before that official visit to USC this weekend. The reason he's going to USC this weekend, I was told, on Texas Football was told, is that there's a family graduation in LA, not associated with USC, but a family graduation on the mom's side. So they're going to make that trip this weekend. Texas is expected to get a weekend official visit still. Could that change? Sure. But because right now Oregon's on the 14th through 16th and Ohio State's on the 21st through 23rd. Texas is expecting to get a weekend official visit. I mean, midweek official visits with a kid from Texas. That's not the way Sark likes to go. Dijon Lee is a special case on June 12th. He's a SoCal kid, and that's really the only time they could fit him in, period. Dorian Brew, they've been recruiting much longer and want him in on one of the big visit weekends. So that's on Brew. So we got that out of the way. Caleb Chester is one. I was just at the school this morning for their morning workout. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for Caleb Chester. Texas A&M's there and Arkansas. Those are his visits in that order in June. He's already officially visited TCU in May. There's a couple things with that recruitment that I think to watch is Terry Joseph and Blake Gideon have been on him a long time. That's Blake Gideon's school. Terry Joseph and Gideon always in contact there, more Joseph now. But Caleb Chester's a corner or nickel. And I think A&M, that one of the coaches on that staff was the first coach to offer him, but that's when the coach was on staff at Kansas. But that's remained strong. A&M has three or four corners committed in this class already. Does that have an impact? A little bit, it does. But A&M hadn't backed off Caleb Chester. Then there's Arkansas. Chester's got an older brother that's at Navarro Junior College. Arkansas is talking about bringing him in for an official visit June 21st through 23rd. So those are kind of things in recruiting to watch. But I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for Chester. Sharma and Charles, I think they're two of the top defensive tackles in the country. I've said before, and I know it's big words, and Bobby may throw his hat at me, but Sharma reminds me of Sean Rogers a little bit. Now, Sean wasn't that big coming out of high school, but I'm just talking about what they can become, how disruptive that combination of quickness, power, length. There's some similarities with Sean, with Josiah Sharma. That's Alabama or Texas. Myron Charles is FSU, Texas, with Miami third, probably Florida fourth in that one. And then Javion Hilson, wild card, long shot, committed to Florida State, but good on Texas for taking shots on goal, getting as many shots on goal as they can. He's a talented edge prospect out of Florida.
Hey, CJ, I got to ask you this. Four out of the six of these guys are from out of state. Two in-state guys. They're having the majority of their guys in next week and the week after. Is that – do you think this was – there's some purpose behind this, or is this just making sure they got guys in they wanted to get in?
It does kind of feel like you could look at this as perhaps a test run, right? The numbers for the next 2 weeks include 18 official visitors on June 14th and then 20 official visitors on June 20th. So much larger weeks are still at stand or coming up for the Longhorns. They're on deck and in the hole, if you will. But, you know, you see some really talented prospects here. Jared just mentioned Myron Charles and Josiah Sharma, right? Those are two prospects where if you look holistically at the Texas recruiting for 2025, that's a position Texas needs to hit on. So perhaps it's also just the idea of, hey, come on in. It'll be a little bit more intimate. You'll get to see a little bit more. And plus, you'll have that extra face time with one, either Kenny Baker or Steve Sarkisian, which, as we know, when Sarkisian is heavily involved in your recruitment, good things normally tend to pan out. So that'll be interesting there. I'm actually really interested to see what kind of message Texas delivers for Michael Terry, right? We've talked whether it be Texas, Texas A&M, Nebraska, Oregon. What is the message from all four of these schools to him? Is he a wide receiver? Is he not? Is he a defensive player? Who knows? That'll be an interesting kind of topic as well. But then you start looking ahead, and this is before you add Dorian Brew to one of those extra weekends in the month of June. They're going to have no room for error with all of those bodies coming in. So in a way, it does look like it's a smaller weekend to kind of get the ins and outs of what the official visit weekend will look like for the staff before it's balls to the wall for the next 2 weekends in June.
And by the way, there's also a big man camp on the 8th. So they're also working this smaller official visit weekend around a camp on the 8th, which there could be two or three 25s that they want to take a look at come in for that camp, and it could be some younger guys. So part of that date is also working around the camp date, which that's kind of the calendar now. There's with these official visits in June, you have to kind of work through your camp dates and your official visit weekends. That's why Texas didn't bring in any official visitors last weekend. They made that all about the Texas Elite Camp, your 26s and 27s.
One last thing I wanted to add on Dorian Brew taking that trip out to USC is we talk about Texas's big weekends and how many guys they're bringing in for their official visits. USC's is this weekend. So they'll be having Julian Lewis, the five-star quarterback, Andrew Marsh, Daylon McCutcheon, two Texas wide receivers, as well as Noah McHale, Malik Autry, and Nick Brooks. So they're going in for this weekend. We'll see if that moves the needle at all for Dorian Brew.
The other question I had, Jerry, some other big recruiting news. Brandon Brown visited LSU, and the folks at LSU were chirping a little bit that Brandon Brown may be ready to flip. Some people even put in some flip decisions, et cetera. Where is the Brandon Brown recruitment at officially, in your opinion?
I think it still remains Texas or LSU. He's visiting Tennessee this weekend, Texas next weekend, Miami the 21st through 23rd, which as CJ and I talked about on the recruiting breakdown yesterday, that's going to muddy that clear blue water on some level in Florida, right? I mean, Miami will make a run at Brandon Brown, especially with NIL. Kids in high school been able to capitalize on NIL. That's if those are different twists into recruiting in the state of Florida in the future. But I still think this one comes down to Texas and LSU. It's the relationship and the resume of Bo Davis. And look, I've said this before, but Bo believed in Brandon Brown when some others didn't, because some people said, he's not tall enough. Well, Bo Davis was one of the first guys to go all in on him. That's why he committed. Brandon Brown committed to Texas without ever being on campus before. That says something for how much you trust the position coach that recruited you. So that's a strong relationship. Steve Sarkisian is personally involved in this recruitment along with Kenny Baker. So there's a little rivalry going on here on a couple of these defensive linemen, I have a feeling, coming down in June. That's Zion Williams and that's Brandon Brown. Could you call both LSU leans, even though Brandon's committed to Texas? Arguable. But here's the thing. Brandon Brown didn't shut it down. He didn't decommit. His circle around him is USC was trying hard to get him to flip there when Texas was in transition between D-line coaches. And shortly after Baker was hired, the circle around Brandon Brown was like, let's just go through this process. You don't want to be commit and decommit. He said, what if you end up wanting to go come back to Texas too? It's just a bad look, right? You don't know who the D-line coach. So the people around him have remained steadfast and go through the process. Don't rush this. Don't commit, decommit. They don't want that to happen. Go through the process. But at the end of the day, if it's not Texas and LSU as the decision, I'd be surprised. I don't want to rule out Miami, but it would surprise me.
All right, guys, if you're interested in recruiting, there's no better place than check out than ontexasfootball.com. Visit us there, Jerry and CJ, all day long, each and every day, dropping little nuggets. You even dropped one yesterday, Jerry, about Aaliyah Chavez, the nation's number one recruit in women's basketball. It's not just football recruiting, even though that is part of it, but Jerry, you're all over it. Chavez, a young lady down to apparently Texas. OU, Texas Tech, and LSU.
It's LSU. I think it's going to be a Texas-LSU battle. We got a few of these coming. I mean, not ruling out Texas Tech. She's a Lubbock, Monterey. I think that's where Aaron Humphrey went, by the way. Cade McCown's still a dead man. But that's another story. But look, if you make 445 threes in 3 years and 187 as a junior, and you shoot over 40% each year from three, attempting threes from 25 feet like she does, an average 38 a game and 10 rebounds a five. You're worthy of mention. She's the number one ranked junior basketball player in the country. She'll end up either one or two. There's another guard in competition with her. She's a tremendous prospect, a hellacious offensive prospect.
Interesting. Well, I knew that's the kind of recruiting information you get at ontexasfootball.com. Before we leave, I want to mention this because there were a lot of scholarship offers that went out over the weekend. Like truly, 15 different offers, one of them from class of 2025, but then 10 in the class of 2026, and then four more in the class of 2027. You'll have major takeaways. I don't want to spend too much time here on guys that are too far away here to really talk about on State of the Program, but I do want to know if there's something that y'all are seeing or thinking as it relates to that. Jerry or CJ, either one.
To me, I mean, it's the two offers. It's the two offers in 2027 at the quarterback position, right? We're currently seeing where Texas will go in the 26 class, but it also took, what, until January, February for those offers to really be extended. I know we had one late in the season to Jared Curtis, who ended up at Georgia, but we're really seeing Sarkisian and this staff be a little bit more aggressive in 27, and it certainly helps that you got these guys on campus to throw in front of everybody, see what they can do under pressure. Peyton Houston's going to be a guy that his name carries a lot of weight, right? He's on that I-20 corridor out of Shreveport. He played with James Simon, but we continued to hear as we talked to more and more people following this camp on Saturday that Brady Edmonds out of Huntington Beach, California, might have actually been the best quarterback in attendance, or at least had the best day. So to me, for them to act that quickly for a class that far away at the quarterback position where they've been very stingy in extending offers, it says a lot about those two prospects at the moment.
And I would say this. As far as we've advanced as an industry in recruiting, and we have, Huddle, obviously, YouTube started it, and then Huddle is great for our industry getting ahead and college coaches making offers and getting ahead in recruiting. What that Elite Camp Saturday showed us, there's still guys, even to this day, in this day and age of recruiting, that kind of can pop up and jump on the national radar out of nowhere, seemingly. The receiver from Mansfield, while he just won the state high jump, while he had 25 receptions for 409 and 6 touchdowns, while he had a few offers, he arrived on the national scene, picking up an offer from Zion Robinson, picking up an offer from Texas on Saturday. Noah Best, an offensive lineman out of Midlothian High. Look, there's a lot of offensive linemen in 26 in the state that are talented. He comes into Texas. Not the name that people are expecting to walk away with an offer. If you were in our industry, if you've been following Texas recruiting or national recruiting, but in a absolutely loaded offensive line group, he stood out somewhat. I'm not saying he was the best, but he stood out enough to where it was a no-brainer offer for Texas. Nicholas Robertson, this is one that I loved about the Elite Camp guys, and it shows the. We talk about how, you know, it's instant gratification. Maybe there's some kids that are entitled because of the process now. I'm a big Nicholas Robertson fan out of Klein High, the 26th guard, because he showed up with a cast on his hand and kicked everybody's butt and got involved in Texas. That is what you love. If you're Sark and Kyle Flood, how much did you love that guy showed up? Because Flood went and saw him in May. Other schools went and saw him in May. Some offered, some didn't, because he couldn't fully work out, right? But he shows up at the camp and's like, yeah, whatever. So I got this thing on my hand. I'm going to go earn this offer from you guys. And he earned the offer. I just love that, some of those stories that we still get. Like, there's still room for guys to jump onto the national radar before their junior years. I know we've reached a point in time where these kids are offered so early and they're recognized because of social media and all the various recruiting industry platforms. But it was really cool to me to see, hear some of those stories come out of the Elite Camp. And then I'd say Dia Bell. I mean, what's cool about Dia Bell is, look, his father, Rajah Bell, seen it all, right? He played in the NBA 12 years. They had some flight difficulties getting in from Florida, weather coming across from Texas to Florida. They made it happen. I mean, look, they could have canceled that and come in June 8th or 6th or something before their other visits. They made it happen. And that Rajah and his wife got on campus with Dia for that camp when it didn't go as smoothly as it could have gone from a travel perspective. But again, to have a guy like Rajah Bell, you look at that. And if Dia Bell ends up at Texas, we talked about what happens, what's happened with the Texas program. Archie Manning, Peyton and Eli, big stamp of approval. Cooper, big stamp of approval for Sark, right? You look at a Santana Wilson, an NFL executive that was a great safety in the NFL, stamp of approval for the Texas program. We can list five or six others. We haven't had an NBA player whose kid's a really good quarterback pick Texas yet. And if that happens, that means Rajah Bell set back and said, look, I was a professional athlete for 12 years. And I made a lot of money and was very successful. And I trust these guys with my son who lives in Plantation, Florida. That would say a lot for Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, good stuff, Jerry. All right, special thanks again to our friend Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car, truck, motorcycle, or ATV accident, no one else you want to call that will take care of you better than Adam Lowy. Visit him at lowylawfirm.com for a free consultation. That's lowylawfirm.com. Adam and his team have been doing it for 20 plus years now. All right, that's going to do it for this week's State of the Program. Next week, guys, we'll have some more recruiting to talk about for sure. But the other thing I want to really get into, we should hear more about the guys behind the scenes on campus and where they're at this summer as it relates to their bodies, physique, that kind of stuff, and whether or not they're ready, going to be ready to go or behind being ready to go as it relates to the season coming up. All right, that'll do it for Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel of OnTexasFootball.com. I'm Bobby Burton. Thanks for watching State of the Program. Hook 'em.